We as a congregation have been working our way through the Gospel of Luke, and in the evenings through the book of Revelation. In God's providence, he has brought us to an important passage in the book of Revelation concerning the resurrection. And so today we're going to read the scripture reading from two different places. The first place, by way of background, the Gospel of Matthew 28, the verses 1 through 10. And then from the book of Revelation, the verses 9 through 18. You can find the scripture reading on the back of your insert that I've placed in your bulletins. On one side is the outline of this morning's message, and on the back are the scripture readings from Matthew 28 and also from Revelation 1. Now keep in mind, there is a number of verses from Revelation I'm going to read, but our focus will be specifically on verses 17 and 18 of Revelation 1. But let's begin with Matthew chapter 28, and I'll be reading the verses 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And then from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and I will begin reading at verse 9 and read through verse 18. Revelation 1, verse 9. "I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like thunder saying, 'Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea.' Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades.'" Thus the reading of God's word this morning, from the Gospel of Matthew 28 and also Revelation chapter 1. Again, I remind you, the outline in your bulletins of this morning's message will aid you as you listen to God's word proclaimed. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, we have gathered here today on Easter Sunday to worship and to give thanks to God for what took place more than 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross and rose from the grave. When the women went to the tomb, they found it empty, and the Lord Jesus appeared to them, resurrected and alive. And we know as believers that in Christ Jesus, we too have been raised up in him and his resurrection. The Bible teaches that when God's Spirit regenerates and changes your heart, when you come to repent of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross to pay for your sins and rose from the grave, you are no longer dead in your sin. But in spirit, in his spirit, you are resurrected already now and made alive. The Apostle Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 15. But all of us also know that unless the Lord Jesus returns to this world while we are still alive, all of us will someday die and go to the grave. And our bodies will then wait in the grave until the Lord Jesus returns to this world, and that will raise us up on that day to everlasting glory. The book of Revelation refers to this as the second resurrection. The first resurrection is our Lord and Savior's resurrection from the grave. And someday when he returns, a second resurrection where all the believers in Christ will be raised up unto eternal life and eternal glory. But what will that resurrection be like when Jesus comes again? A body and soul resurrection that will be unto eternal glory. The book of Revelation is a book of the Bible in which God gave a vision to his apostle, his servant John, to unveil the heavenly realms for us. A vision by which the apostle John wrote down these things, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. The book of Revelation pulls down the veil of what is hidden in heaven, and it enables us who are alive on this earth as believers, a glimpse of the heavenly realms and what's taking place in the realm of finality. Into the realm where someday those who are resurrected in body and soul will someday enter and be in the presence of God forever. In our text today, God gives the Apostle John a vision where he unveils into the heavenly realm the body and soul resurrection of eternity for the Apostle John. How do we know that God is showing John this very thing by which he has written it down in this book for we as believers to know? In the verses that precede verse 17 and 18, we are given the vision part of the glorified Son of Man in heaven. The glorified Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think today of Jesus' resurrection, we think of what took place at the tomb. The women went to the tomb on Easter morning and they found it empty. The resurrected Lord Jesus appeared to them in all his glory, and later he appeared to his disciples in the upper room. In 40 days, he would ascend into heaven according to Acts chapter 1, being lifted up before their eyes and covered by a cloud. And that's the last anyone on earth has seen him. He rose, he appeared to many, he ascended into heaven, and now he's in a place where we don't see him anymore. Where is the risen Lord today? He is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, and God has given John this vision in Revelation 1 of the resurrected Lord in glory. That's what we read about, what John saw, what he was caught up in the Spirit to see concerning the glorified Son of Man in heaven. again, as you look at Revelation 1, verse 10, we're told that John was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Keep in mind that John is being caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day is something that we normally don't think of concerning the Spirit and being caught up. We hear today in charismatic churches about being caught up in the Spirit and causing you to speak in tongues or fall down in holy laughter or all kinds of things like that. We as Reformed believers say, well, that's not the work of God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is when it comes to your heart and it opens your heart and mind and regenerates your dead heart to come to know and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We know and believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross. He rose from the grave. The Spirit causes us to repent of our sins and be drawn, effectually called unto Him and unto salvation. That's what we normally think of when we think of the work of the Spirit. But that's not what John or Revelation 1 verse 10 is telling us happened to John. What happened to John when he was caught up in the Spirit to see this vision is something more than just that. The Apostle John is being caught up by the Holy Spirit into the heavenly realms. He's been given a vision of the glorified Son of Man in heaven. You see, John had seen the Lord Jesus Christ glorified before. But this is more than what John the Apostle witnessed at the transfiguration when Jesus became white, and when after the transfiguration was over, he saw his face bright and shiny and partially glorified. This is more than what the Apostle John saw when after the resurrection and Jesus came out of the tomb, he was glorified. This is more than what the Apostle John saw as he watched Jesus ascend into heaven. In Revelation 1, John is given a vision of the resurrected and glorified Christ who is ascended in heaven now. The Apostle John has been drawn up by the Spirit in the means of this vision into the state of finality of the glorified Christ. No one alive on earth has ever been drawn into that realm. No one alive on earth has ever been in the presence of the risen Christ in heaven. No one alive on earth can go and to be with him in that place because you are still a sinner. You are a saved sinner, but you're still a sinner and do not belong in that place, body and soul. And we went into the details in our Revelation class Sunday night about his clothes, his body parts, the activities of the Son of Man that he's doing glorified in heaven now. That's not the purpose this morning of this message. But our focus this morning is to recognize what happened to the Apostle John as he stood before the resurrected, glorified Son of Man in heaven. As he looked upon the Son of Man in a state of finality, his work, salvation, has been accomplished. Don't you see what's before you in this text this morning? This is not about a child who claims to have died and then came back to life again and now is going to write a book and tell you about what he saw and experienced during that time that he thought he died. This isn't going to be about a movie that's made about somebody's experience, about what they claim that they died at some point and then they came back to life again and what they experienced and saw. This is better. This is about what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, brought the Apostle John into that realm of glory and finality, and the Holy Spirit then inspired him to write it down for you to read in the inspired Word of God. in your Bibles that you have in your hands. That's better. Well, what did John do then? We're told that John, be on your outlines, responds to what he saw was he fell down as though dead. Look at verse 17. When I saw him, we're told, I fell at his feet as though dead. When he saw the glorified Christ in the ascended on high state of finality, God gave him that vision. He fell at his feet as though dead. Now you see, John, carried by the Holy Spirit, has been brought into the glorified and eternal realm. He's given a vision of that. And when he falls down dead, as though dead, we learn that you cannot enter the glorified realm without first being dead in the body and made alive. You see, in this vision, John dies before he dies on earth. It's a vision. He is still alive on earth, but he's not died. And unless you are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth at his second coming, you cannot enter the presence of the glorified Son of Man in heaven without first death and resurrection of the body. We know today that as you are gathered here because of Christ's death and resurrection, you are spiritually made alive. You believe that because of Christ's resurrection, that when you die physically on this earth, your soul goes to heaven after death. That's what the Bible teaches. But what John is seeing here is something more than that. In his vision, the body and soul are in the presence of the glorified, risen Christ in the state of finality in heaven. His body and soul are present there in that vision. That's why he can fall down at the feet of the Son of Man as though dead. That's why in the next phrase of that verse, the Son of Man can lay his right hand on him. In the vision, John is seeing his body and soul before the Son of Man in heaven. And he falls down before his face as though dead. You see, to go into the eternal realm, both body and soul, until the Lord returns, you must die first. And that's what John sees in this vision. For when he sees the resurrected, ascended, and glorified Christ, he fell down as though dead. And what did Jesus do? The Spirit gives John a vision to not be afraid, but to show him and to show us what the Lord Jesus Christ will do for him. John's vision, then, continues with a vision of what the Son of Man will do to glorify him. What happens? The first thing we see after John falls down at his feet is that he lays his right hand on him. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we're told about the right hand of God. And the right hand of God is a symbol for the strength of God, his strength. You are at my right hand. We know in the New Testament that we're told that Jesus has ascended to the right hand of God, the place of honor, the place of strength and power. Normally, the right hand is used in Scripture as a hand of strength or place of honor. But what we see with John here in his vision is he lays his right hand on him like on his body. By the right hand of strength, the power of glorification is being applied to John. We've seen it throughout the Gospels. Maybe you remember in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, there was a young boy that died. They already had had the funeral. They put him in the coffin and were carrying him out in the funeral procession all the way out to the graveyard where they were going to bury him in the ground. And Jesus sees the boy. He sees the funeral procession. He walks through the people and he touches the coffin and the boy comes to life. We saw it in Luke chapter 9 when Jesus saw and heard about the daughter of Jairus who was dying. And he was asked to come to the home of Jairus, the synagogue leader's house. And by the time he got to the house, because he was helping the woman who was bleeding, the daughter had already died. And they said, "Lord, don't even come anymore. She's already dead." And he walked into the room and he took the girl's hand. And she came alive. That's what Jesus did in the earthly realm when he was on earth. He raised somebody up from the dead. Their body came to life. Now in the glorified realm, when John fell down as though dead, Jesus is laying his right hand on him. And listen to what Jesus said to him in verse 17. "Fear not. Fear not. Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one." Remember what we read in Matthew 28 this morning at what took place at the tomb? When the women saw the empty tomb and they saw the angels dressed in white, they were told, "Jesus has resurrected from the grave. Fear not." And now John, by way of a vision, has entered into the glorified realm. The vision of the body and soul in the presence of God in the state of finality before the Son of Man. And he's told after he falls down as though dead, "Fear not." Why isn't he to fear? In this vision, Jesus speaks to him while he has his right hand on his body and soul. Jesus said, "I am." Now we've heard that before too, haven't we? In the Gospel of John, Jesus uses that identification of himself over and over again. "I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life." For the call to worship this morning, we read how he said to the sister of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life." And now Jesus is saying to John in heaven, "I am the first and the last and the living one." What is he referring to this time? He has said this before in the book of Revelation. "I am the first and the last." He said it. We saw it in verse 4 on our Sunday night class. He uses the same language in verse 8 in our Sunday night class. We looked at that and what it meant in verse 4 and verse 8. But this time, when he uses, "I am the first and the last," there's a phrase put with it. "I am the first and the last, the living one." The living one. What does he mean by the living one? What is he referring to by the living one? Look how he explains it further as he goes on in what he says to reinforce what he is saying. "I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore." You see, in the book of Revelation, when he has used this phrase previously, he is referring to the fact that he is the first and the last. There is nothing before Christ. There is nothing after Christ. There is no power in this world or in this universe who is greater than him, for he is the first and the last. You can't manipulate him or control him or buy him off to do anything else. He is first and last. That's what John is saying in verse 1 and verse 8. But now in these verses, as he speaks of the fact that he is the first and the last, that he is living, he explains it further as he goes on. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He died. That's what he's telling John. I died on the cross, and I am the first who has risen from the grave. I died when I was on earth. I was the Son of Man. I came to earth and I died on the cross. And I am the first of those who have resurrected from the grave, body and soul. When the women came to the tomb, the body was no longer in the grave. His body and soul resurrected from the grave, ascended into heaven, and seated at the right hand of God. And John is given a vision of that. And he's the first one. The first fruit, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, of those who have risen from the dead. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am the first one to do this. The finality of things, I have ascended to heaven, resurrected from the grave, seated at the right hand of God, and there's nothing else that comes after that. That is the fullness, the finality of salvation. And someday I'm going to come back to earth, and everyone who believes in me will be resurrected from the grave unto eternal life in heaven and forevermore. That's what John is hearing from the Son of Man in heaven, who has his right hand on him in the vision. His right hand in the vision on him, his body. What the Lord has accomplished in his death on the cross and being the first one to be raised from the grave, body and soul, that is now being transferred to John, who fell down as though dead. You see, John is given a vision, a picture for us, which he has recorded and written down for us, of a body and soul resurrection in glory that is still to come for believers when our Lord returns. Today, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead 2,000 years ago. We know that with his death and resurrection, we have been raised spiritually from sin and death, and someday too, we will go to the grave. But in this vision, the Spirit shows Jesus in the final eternal state. And when he comes back to earth, like he did to John, who fell down as though dead, he who is eternal will raise up the body and souls of believers from the grave to eternal glory, to a state of finality. And John, caught up in the Spirit, was brought and given that vision to reveal to us a vision of what that will look like when someday we, body and soul, will be before the Son of Man in eternal glory. But do you see how it applies even further to today? But the Lord isn't done in what he has to tell us. Look what he goes on to say in the last part of verse 17. And I have the keys of death and Hades. What does that mean? It means that when he died, that is, died on the cross, that when he rose from the grave, death, the wages of sin, because you're born in sin, you will die in this world. That's what is due you. But the Lord has paid for your sin and conquered death. Hades is the place of hell, the place where people go who have rejected the gospel and salvation and face eternal judgment for their sin. But now Jesus tells John that by way of the accomplishment of his death and resurrection, he holds the keys. A key can do two things. There can be a key that will open a door that will let you out. And there's a key that, after the door is closed, can lock you in. The wages of sin is death, and the resurrected and glorified Christ has the keys to death and hell. He has the key to open the door and let you out of death and draw you into eternal life by way of his death and resurrection applied to you. If you believe that in his suffering and death on the cross, he has paid for your sins, and that he rose from the grave and has given you eternal life and is seated in heaven in glory on high, he has the key to open that door that when you die because you're a sinner, he will take your soul to heaven, opening the door out of death into eternal life. And when he returns to do what you saw happen to John in this vision, John, who only saw it in a vision but did not experience this himself and still has not, as he died and his body too is in the grave. But he has the power, through what he has accomplished in his death and resurrection, to put his right hand on you, your body and soul, and raise you into a state of finality and eternal glory in heaven. But he also has the other key. There's two keys. He has the key to lock you in, that when you die, instead of glory because you have rejected him, he can send your soul, and when he returns, your body to eternal hell. And God has given him the key to lock you in. In our text today, God, through the eyes of his servant John, has given you a vision of the eternal realm, the state of finality, where believers someday will be, because of his death and resurrection applied to their hearts, body and soul, in a state of finality and glory. There's no reason for a believer in Christ Jesus to be afraid. As a sinner, you're going to die. But if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, if you repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in him, he will unlock the key of death and bring you to that place. But if you reject him, if you don't believe in the gospel and the good news of salvation that has been accomplished for you, that we remember today, he also has the key to lock you in an eternal realm, away from God, away from salvation, and eternal judgment and wrath forevermore. This is the vision that John saw. This is what the Lord Jesus showed him, and the Spirit inspired him to write down in the scriptures for you to know. Do you believe this? Do you believe that he will resurrect you to everlasting life, body and soul in heaven? Or do you reject him and face his wrath and judgment? Our text calls us this morning to believe and to know the salvation of God, the resurrection of body and soul forevermore. May it be in your hearts today. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this biblical passage from the book of Revelation, by which you have unveiled for us the things of heaven. And we rejoice, Lord, that not only are we told in other passages of Scripture of the resurrection of the body and soul, but you have even given us in this vision a picture of what it means and what it may look like someday in eternity. We know, Lord, that to enter into that eternal realm, we must die. For Lord, as sinners in this world, we will die and be put in the grave. But Lord, we long for that day when our Savior will return, when our bodies will be resurrected from the grave, whereas he was raised body and soul on Easter Sunday, we too will join him in that body and soul resurrection in all eternity. Grant us, Lord, the faith in our hearts to know and believe that these things are true. To know and believe, Lord, that the salvation for us is not of this world, but of eternity and in heaven with you. And we pray this morning, Lord, for those that we know that do not believe these things, whether it be relatives, whether it be friends and co-workers, whether it be neighbors. Lord, we pray that you would equip us to be willing to share the joy that's come into our hearts, that your Spirit may work in them to turn from their sin, which is the wages of death, and to turn to faith and salvation in Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray, Lord, that you would accomplish this by the power of your Spirit. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us now sing together about that resurrection with the singing of hymn number 277, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Let us stand together and sing all the stanzas number 277.